Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by
Natalie and Aaron met on CatholicSingles.com after they realized that they needed to find someone who shared their faith. Meet other faithful Catholics on the original Catholic dating site. Download our app today for free.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Well, hey everyone, and welcome back to the Lisa Hendy and Friends Show. This week on the podcast, we've got for you a fantastic guest. He really needs no introduction, but I'll give him one anyway. Dr. Ray Grandy is a clinical psychologist, author, professional speaker, and national radio and television host. His radio show, The Doctor Is In, can be heard on over 440 stations and Sirius XM channel 130. And his TV show, Living Right with Dr. Ray, can be seen on EWTN Global Catholic Network. And it's aired in 140 countries around the globe. Welcome to the show, Dr. Ray Grandy.
Thanks, Lisa. How are you?
I'm terrific. Long time no chat, and congratulations on the publication of this brand new book, Raising Upright Kids in an Upside Down World. That caught me from the very opening pages, and it's so timely and awesome. What prompted this particular book at this time in your work?
Number one referral I now get, Lisa, is parents coming in with teenagers or young adults who say, what happened? We didn't raise them this way. Why do they think like this? Why are they leaving the church? What is shaping them so far from the way they were raised? And that is the culture. The culture misshapes our kids' souls, and most parents do not realize its power. And furthermore, even if they had an inkling of its power, they have to have an incredibly strong spine to go against it.
So you decided, rather than have the same conversation over and over again, you could just write the book and give it to them. And no, it's so great. And you bring up, I mean, from the very beginning, this idea that, you know, we're really in many ways ceding our responsibility to the world around us, that families are facing, you know, families, especially large families, face increasing pressure and all this. But you go into some, you drill down into some really specific topics here, and are the topics kind of from the greatest hits of what you talk about with your clients or on the shows?
I picked, Lisa, those forces, those technological entertainment forces that are shaping our kids. It's like the movie The Fog. The fog, you couldn't keep it out. It was this malevolent ocean fog that got into this lighthouse, and they tried to keep it out, but it couldn't because it seeped in every crack. And I think that's what the culture does to our kids. It seeps into our house through video games, through TV, through music, through computers, through smartphones, through materialism. It seeps in. Now, I'm not saying we have to become Amish. That's not going to happen. And I'm not saying you can stop everything, because you can't. What I am saying, one, you better be much more vigilant about what is shaping your kid. Two, you better hold it off. Keep it away from your kid as much as you can so that, three, your morals and your teaching has a lot more time to take root. That's the essence of the book.
Yeah, I want to kind of put it in context for people. I can't imagine there's anybody out there listening that doesn't know you and your family, but I want them to know, if they don't, kind of who you are and where you come from. A dad of 10, an adoptive dad, you know, a variety of ages and background situations. How much is this coming out of what you learned with your own kids and in raising your own family?
People will say to me, Lisa, if they introduce me at a talk and they offer some of the experience I've had, then they'll say, but most importantly, his experience is based upon being a father of 10 children. And I don't say anything, but that's really not what it is. Even though I have a bunch of kids, when I deal with parents over these last 40 years, that represents thousands of kids. So my experience and understanding of what's going on out there is a lot more broad-based than my own family. We homeschooled. And so as a result, that put us in 2% of the population. We also have a kind of a very solid marriage. Well, now that's 50% of the population. So in a sense, we're kind of different than the culture that's out there. Now, as I look at it, my kids are grown up now. They're all in their 20s. If I look at this and I say, well, did everything we tried to do work? I have to give a resounding no. Okay. even with all that was in our favor, the culture is so powerful that our goal was, as long as we could, as much as we could, to shape the kids in our image as opposed to the culture's image. And some of them are coming back now as they've recognized that the culture's way of doing things stinks. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work. So now they've got something to look back at and say, okay, mom and dad raised me this way. Mom and dad, I'll give you a small example, Lisa. Materialism. I have a chapter in the book on materialism.
Yes, now,
materialism,
I love that chapter.
Really, really breeds. It breeds entitled children. It really does. We used to have a rule that you could have one stuffed animal. If you got a second one, you had to choose. And then we give the other one away to charity. Now, someone might say, well, come on, that's not going to make anybody be generous. No, you're absolutely right. It's not. But it's one tiny little grain of sand that makes a statement. Or, for example, at Christmas, when you have 10 kids all under 12 like we did, the Toys R Us truck backed into the driveway for 3 days in a row. We gave away 2/3 to 3/4 of it, sometimes unopened, because we told the kids, we really don't need all this, guys. There's kids at the hospital that don't have anything. And so the kids would go and they'd take the stuff. Now, it was a lot easier when they were younger because they were more agreeable. They got a little older. It's like, hey, wait a minute, man, you're giving my gifts away. Now, will that make my kids not materialistic? Not necessarily. But we had to parent as we thought would be best, even if the outcome wasn't what we had hoped for.
Yeah, I love that chapter. And it kind of is interesting to take a look at that chapter and how you form it with particular sections. Kind of like, I hear your voice in my head when I read the book. But you have, you know, examples of particular dialogue. And one of the things that you bring up in that chapter is actually the influence of grandparents, even in you know, being a loving force, but also one that sometimes we need to manage a little bit. So, you know, I wanted to ask you about probably the question that most parents will ask about, which is when we talk about technology, the issue of cell phones and the issue of social media. So in whatever order you think is most reasonable, how do we take on those two topics kind of quickly?
They are related. Parents will ask me, what is the single thing I can do that will make my parenting more difficult? I say, oh, that's really easy. Get them a smartphone. Very simple.
Mm-hmm.
The average kid now has a smartphone at age 10. The computer in your hand, access to the whole world. Awful, terrible, foolish, stupid. Now, if you wait until age 15 to get on a smartphone, you're approximately 1% of parents. Well, do you realize, Lisa, the kind of strength you have to stand up against a culture that 99% of parents are doing it differently?
Mm-hmm.
But I will tell you, as a shrink, and I've been at this a long time, how many parents get burned by that smartphone through pornography, through relationships, through a kid falling in love with some girl in class at age 12 because he's been texting her for the last 6 months, through sexting, through pictures, through awful language. I mean, it's there's no limit to it. And I tell parents, hold off. Well, yeah, but Dr. Ray, we have to know where they are. We want to be able to keep in touch. Okay, get them a flip phone. Okay, get them a Walmart 30-minute special.
Yeah.
That they can call certain numbers and that's it. But no, parents don't want to do that because the kids want the latest, greatest. And so the parents yield. But what happens is, even if the kid doesn't get into the nasty stuff on a phone, which about 80% of them do, even if at grandpa's birthday party, they're off in a corner on their phone. They're not paying any attention to grandpa. Their whole world is on that phone. And the kind of stuff that you would want your children to have, which is social relationships and kindness and singing happy birthday to grandpa, is got a real competition now.
Yeah, we're speaking with Dr. Ray Guarendi about this awesome book, Raising Upright Kids in an Upside Down World. Another thing that we're all trying to learn to grapple with, and because it's such a factor in our lives these days, is social media, the presence of social media. And I think I want to flip this a little bit and ask you, what about the parent whose kid is already using a cell phone or already on social media? Can the genie be put back into the bottle? And how does that, along with buying the book and reading it, and how do you start to take those steps?
If you were drinking spoiled milk, you tasted it and you said, oh, that's bad. That's spoiled. I think I better just sip it a little bit at a time. Or would you dump it out in the sink? Well, with a smartphone, if you recognize you made a huge mistake, then you say, it was way, way too early to put this in the hands of my 12-year-old, my 14-year-old. Way, way too early. I miscalculated. It was foolish on my part. I yielded to cultural pressure. I yielded to kid pressure. I always tell parents, you can rethink any decision. That's the way parenthood is. The problem is, you better be ready for the pushback.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is not a thing, Lisa, that kids will resist most than a parent who says, give me your smartphone.
Because they have come to believe that it's a birthright in some ways, not a privilege that's earned in an age-appropriate fashion, but
it's
a birthright.
It's their third kidney. That's right.
Well, Dr. Ray, so let's ask about parents. A lot of this is addressed towards, kids that are actively living in the home. But you mentioned the age of your kids. And I know I have young adult children and I haven't ceded my responsibility to be their mom just because they're not living in my house anymore. What is the advice that you have for parents of young adults, like how we can best walk alongside our kids and continue to try to lead them to heaven?
A parent has to judge the receptivity of the young adults. I've seen so many parental child relationships destroyed because the parent keeps giving their opinion, keeps giving guidance to this 22-year-old, and the 22-year-old doesn't want to hear it. And the parent continues to think, but I've got to say something. I'm mom. I'm dad. I've got to say something. What they're doing is wrong or what they're doing is foolish. I got to say something. But what happens is it makes the relationship at the least very strained and at the worst broken. So I tell parents, if you have a child who comes to you, like of my children, I have several that will come to me and say, hey, Dad, can I ask you something? I got others that if I even remotely say, what about this? I get an eye roll and they look at me like, yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
So I've really decided whom I can guide and who I can't.
Yeah, I think you're probably guiding all of them just differently and with each of them in their own unique ways.
Well, you got to get a good parole officer.
Oh, Dr. Ray, you crack me up. Well, the book, again, it's Raising Upright Kids in an Upside Down World by Dr. Ray Grandy. Certainly we'll have links in our show notes from the podcast of how you can get a hold of this through EWTN Publishing and Sophia Institute Press. Dr. Ray, what's the best place for people to keep up with the voluminous amounts of awesomeness that you have going on over there these days?
Two things, Lisa. One, my website's drray.com, and all the books are there. And then I have a Facebook page also that I give out a lot of parenting stuff and family stuff.
Awesome. So the doctor is in, folks. Any kind of closing thoughts you would like to share with our listeners before we let you go?
I ask parents in my office, do you want to raise an average kid or do you want to raise a 1 in 100 kid? I've never had a parent say, oh, no, I'm satisfied with average. They all say, I want to raise a 1 in 100. Then I say to them, well, are you prepared to be a 1 in 100 parent then? Because you can't parent like the culture around you anymore.
Words of wisdom. Thank you so much for the work that you do and for your guidance and just being a real light to families out there. We're really grateful.
Lisa, thank you. It's good to visit with you.
Thank you. Well, friends, that's it for this week's episode of Lisa Hendy and Friends. You can find all of our previous episodes. You can find information on Dr. Ray Grandy and this awesome book at lisahendy.com. My contact information is there. And until next time, I hope you have an awesome day. God bless.
I feel silly trying to make up prayers myself. My mind starts to wander as I'm speaking to God. I just don't have time to pray. Do you recognize yourself in any of these statements? If so, we have a book for you. In Pray Fully, best-selling authors Michelle Fanley and Emily Jaminet share the rewards and frustrations of their own prayer journeys to create a practical guide that combines testimonies, tips, and journaling space to help you spend quality time with God. Whether you want to learn how to pray aloud in a group or stop your mind from wandering during prayer, Fanley and Jaminet have practical advice and the real-life experience to help you overcome obstacles to everyday prayer. Head over to AveMariaPress.com and use code LEARN2PRAY. That's LEARN2PRAY. To get 20% off your copy today. Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small batch artisan coffee using top tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees, available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Breadbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.